Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, Steve Arterburn here, and welcome to New Life Live. Two of the greats in the area of Christian counseling, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hey, Steve.
And Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, Mylon.
Well, hello, Steve and Jill.
Yes.
It's good to be with you again.
It's always good to be with you.
Yes, it is.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah, we do. It is Thursday, and happy to all of you. You know, I tell you, I just miss old Dave. Dave was just such part of my life for such a long time. And really coming to grips with what people are going through. And Dave and I weren't married, as many of you know. And I can only imagine what you have to go through when you lose a spouse that you truly care about. Dave and I were together 40 years, which is probably double the amount of the average marriage length now these days with quick divorce and all that stuff. But anyway, he did write an amazing book at the end, and he lived it out to the end, Living Well, which he did, and Finishing Strong. And if you support this ministry, gift of any amount, we'll send that to you. But, you know, Dave was one of the most consistent people I think you'd ever meet. I mean, and I was just at my 50th reunion, and it was kind of proof of one of the things Dave would say jokingly. He would say, well, people don't change. Well, you know, here we are all in,
as
in
a psychologist,
this, trying to help people trying to change. But, oh my goodness, after 50 years, it was so amazing how alike everybody still was. Doesn't mean you can't make some, you know, better moves in your life and stuff. Mm-hmm. But boy, Dave was really right. You are who you are, and you got to make the best of that rather than looking for the overhaul. But he's really written a great, great book, and just talking with one of our great folks here, Mason, saying he just finished it, loved it. I think you will too. A gift of any amount, I'll send it to you. And also, for nothing, you can call us and we would be glad to help you. And I'm going to go to the phones right now, and I'm going to start with Katie right here, all the way from Denver, Colorado. And Katie listens on KRKS. Hi, Katie, how are you?
Hi. Well, I don't know. I'm in a position. I'm in a lot of anxiety, and I've been through years of depression. And I have my question is how do I don't even know if I've been able to forgive my parents for the abuse that I've been that I've had to endure my entire life. It's just been the last few years that I've been away from them. My father passed away, and then it got very abusive with my mother, and everybody, you know, everybody was allowed to steal from me, hit me whenever they wanted to, and I actually was beat as a child for my mother. All of us kids were, but it was, it was more me than anybody else, and it was every day, and it was just like I couldn't even undress for it. I remember in junior high school, back in the day, we had to get undressed and get dressed in front of everybody, and I always went to the restroom to do that because I never could dress for gym all the way because I always had strap marks from the belt all the way down from the top of my shoulders to the bottom of my legs and down to my ankles. And it was always something, you know. Mm. And then, then I...
Okay, hold on. I've got to go to a break, and we'll hear more.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Katie, we're just really, really sad to hear of the treatment that you've had. And I'm just going to start with Mylon and hear his, I mean, what are you thinking, Mylon?
Well, Katie, your question is, how do I forgive them? And I think that's the wrong place to start. First of all, I'm enraged for you. Your mom should be in jail. She should be reported to the authorities. And I would do everything I can to see to it that this abusive family is somehow brought before some level of accountability. Your mother is a sick lady to be abusive, which also tells me she must have herself had a horrible childhood as well.
Yes.
And what happens is these things just keep rolling downhill to the next generation and the next and the next, because people don't know what to do with their stress and their frustration.
Right.
So they scream it out, yell it out, and beat it out. So instead of talking about forgiveness, I would want to see you in a course of therapy with a trauma expert that can help you be able to be strong, to rise eventually out of this place of abuse. It is just not right, and I feel horrible about it. And I would want to see you get some help.
Katie, how old are you?
I'm 52.
You're 52.
And I have children, and I've never laid a hand on my children.
Good for
ever.
You. Good for
and
you.
She used to tell me, "You just wait till you have kids, you'll do the same thing." And I used to scream back at her. I said, "I will never lay a hand on my children,
good
nor
for
will
you.
I lay a hand on anybody else."
Okay, so
and I never did, and I never even yelled at my children.
Okay, so the goal is for you to get the help.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is horrible.
Jill? Right, because there's still a little girl inside of you that is calling us today to ask about this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's time. You know, sometimes we can gear up, we do what we need to do, but then as our children start growing up, it's like, oh, wow, these things come back around.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got a question for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we are just disgusted at what you told us. Mm. We hate hearing this. So this is why I'm going to ask you a question. Why would you not forgive her? What would stand in the way between you and your forgiveness of this woman?
I've prayed for her and my father, because my dad was just as bad, and they let everybody. As I got older and I was an adult, and they begged me to move in with them and to help them, and I did, and they let another family member almost kill me. And I mean, the police were involved in everything, and I tried to call the police, but they... Both my mom and dad and the person who almost did kill me just beat me to a pulp, and they wouldn't let me call the police.
And how long ago was that? How long ago was that?
About 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, all the more reason for me to ask you, why wouldn't you forgive them?
Well, they hurt me so bad.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm more hurt than I am angry with anybody.
Sure,
And then they turn, then my father dies, and they turn this around on me, and my niece and my cousin, they've been mad. Everybody has, I have paid the price of what they let that family member do to me, and then I had to drop the charges because he was going to serve a 22-year sentence. And the day he was going to jail, I had to give a typed-up letter that my dad wrote to the DA. And the DA says, what are you doing? He's going to jail today for 22 years. I said, I know, but can you stop a bullet from getting my children? Because he told me, with a gun pointed at me, that he was going to kill me, but first he was going to have me watch him kill my children.
All right.
Because if I took his child away from him, he was definitely going to take my child away from me, and then me too. And then,
all right.
Was this your dad said that?
No.
This was your dad?
Oh, I thought it was a brother.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Wow. He's the one who killed me, almost killed
Listen
me.
Listen to me. Listen to me, okay? You have not had anybody in your life that you need to help you. And there are a couple of things you need. You really do. Nobody, hardly anybody, goes through something like this. And you've never had the kind of counseling that you need to get over it, okay? And so that's one thing that you need. But here's the other thing. You've held on to this bitterness and resentment and anger, which who wouldn't? You know, but as long as you hold on to it,
the hurt.
My point is this: the longer it goes unresolved, then they still have this space up in your head that they don't deserve. Right. They don't deserve any emotion, any influence in your life, and so that's why I want to help you get beyond it, because any kind of unresolved hurt and trauma, it doesn't hurt them, it hurts you, and they've hurt you enough, catastrophically.
It keeps you tied to them. So that's where, so Steve, can we send Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers? Because
not only that, we can see if we can find somebody to help pay for you to have the kind of trauma therapy that you need to have, because this is horrible, just horrible, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's just ongoing. And so, Katie, one of the things is you have to stop needing anything from them.
From the whole family.
From the whole family.
You don't need them to say you're sorry. Who cares what people think?
Right, and for whatever reason, you became the scapegoat of this family. Sometimes there's one person that's targeted, and we don't know why. You know, personality differences. But this isn't because you are bad, right? Or deserving of any of this. And I think you know that, right? But for whatever reason, you were an easy target for this family to dump all of their stuff on. And so so they're never going to be the family that you wish they were. You're never going to get the love from them that you needed.
Right.
And I'm glad that you have children, you're married, and I'm hoping that in that family that you're finding the love that you need, as well as we bring...
My children are just wonderful.
Good.
They really, really are.
Well, and I hope you have some community, too.
God really blessed me. Yes, God, I don't. I don't have anybody except for my kids.
Yeah. Well, and you don't have a husband?
And my husband is gone. No, he's gone. He passed away. But that's how they were able to do this to me again.
Right.
You know, when I was an adult, and because they actually wanted me to move in with them, and I did, and then by them stealing everything I had. I mean, really, they took every bit of
last
penny I had.
Katie, I never tell people to not have contact with their family. That is a complete last resort. But you are one of those people that should probably not have contact with your family. They suck you in.
I stopped all contact when they turned everything around on me, called the police on me, and started a suit against me because they were afraid that I was going to go to the police. And I mean, if my one child wasn't there, I would have been walking out of that house because they even wrecked my car. When the police came, those three police officers that served me with a piece of paper that said I had to get out because my niece was afraid of me and my mother was afraid of me, please give me a break. They were beating me, and you know, and they turned it all against me. And I even went to court to try and get this PO off me because it's not true. It's a bunch of lies. And the judge laughed at me because, and she wouldn't even look at my evidence. She looked at the pictures of me being strangled, you know, and stuff like that, because I had pictures of my throat and everything. But she laughed at me, and she said, why would you want to live with her anyway? She told you at the age that you are to go to your room. And I said, I mean, I tried to talk to her, and she wouldn't even let me talk. She just was making fun of me.
One of the reasons that you are wanting to tell us so much about this pain is that you haven't had anybody to talk with. And I wish we had more time, but what I am glad is that we have some knowledge of what you need, and I want you to have what you need. I mean, I know you need to share, but what you really need is you need somebody that can help you resolve all of this, because this is horrible, and it's not common, and I just ask people to pray for you. We will. And let us see if we can find the kind of help that you need. We've got some great, great folks out there that are providing some really good help to people. So hang on, and if anybody can help her, boy, we want to help her specifically. This is just horrific. But this is what happens in an evil world, in a fallen world. All right, let's go over here, and how about we talk with, let's talk with Lisa from Detroit, Michigan. Lisa, how you doing? What's going on in your life today?
Hi. Yes, I'm calling because I need some help in knowing how to be able to function. It came about me not being able to function. The first part came about from on the right side of my childhood house. The house became a rental property. It's a tenant from hell situation, which I didn't get any resolution for. So that's been going on since May 2019. So I literally been shut up in my house, not because of COVID, but because I don't have the enjoyment of my environment on the outside. And not, it's not that enjoyable on the inside either, still being in this situation. In addition, what has happened to escalate my non-functioning condition is my ex-boyfriend, the man that was in my life. He led up to he was going to give us the opportunity to be back together, and he came over here, and we had a nice interaction, nice conversation. I even prayed for him because before he came over here.
And then what did he do?
He texted me that he, you know, had some medical situations going on. So he made me have empathy and sympathy for him. I had prayer with him and everything. And then he walked out of my life. He deceived me.
Horrible.
For the second time. And I was almost over him when he broke us up in 2020.
Okay, so is your question for us? How do you think we might best be able to help you today?
Well, I'm not functioning in the way of I haven't been going anywhere. And I don't know how to restart that, to do that, because I'm just so done. I don't have no...
Okay, when you say you're not functioning, what does that mean, that you're not functioning? Are you not going out? Are you not eating? What's that mean?
Right, I'm not literally, I'm not doing what I need to do for myself in the way of where, before that happened with him, I was able, even though I'm still not in a good way about the tenant from hell situation next door and being shut up in this house, but I was a little bit able to go to the market, go somewhere.
Okay, we're going to help you right after this, and I'm really sorry for what's happened. Man, it is tough when we feel all alone, and one thing piles on top of another, and then we just can't handle it. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Steve Artemir, we're talking with Lisa, and Jill, let's start with you. You've got some questions for Lisa.
I'm so sorry to hear about these situations in your life that seem to cause you to feel very, very trapped and disappointed. And it seems like other people around you really bring you down and cause you to not do the self-care that you need to do for yourself. It sounds like it just drains all the energy out of you. And so when that occurs, we need to stop and ask ourselves what we are expecting others to do for us. And there's kind of a thought of others really can't do for us what we need to do for ourselves. And the things we need to do for ourselves are basic things to get some forward movement. And when you feel down and depressed and disappointed, it's easy to stay stuck, stay in the same spot, and just kind of, you know, meander around your house doing mind-numbing activities. So some things to keep in mind is that, you know, first of all, in terms of self-care, make some goals like, okay, you're going to get up, you're going to make your bed every day. You're going to shower and get dressed every day. Really important for depressed people, it's the last thing you want to do, but you need to leave your house every day. And maybe it just starts with your walking to the mailbox and back. Because that gets you, you know, you've got to kind of be dressed to do that. So that gets you moving, right? And if you can leave your house at least once a day, that helps to shift some of that mood in your brain and is activating a bit. And once you do one good thing in terms of self-care, then it creates some motivation and momentum to do another good thing, right? You said you were going to the market. That's good. Going to the market is important.
I said I used to be able to.
Okay,
I haven't been able to do that for over 5 months now.
Oh, Lisa, that's just terrible. I mean, how are you getting food? How are you surviving?
A restaurant owner allows me to order from his restaurant, and then I pay for, you know, my hotel for that month, the next month with my income. But he was doing that, you know, way before COVID.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm hearing that this for you isn't really related to COVID. COVID has just made it more acceptable. Right?
Well, this individual came into my life. We began our relationship just before COVID.
Yeah,
but in Michigan, that's what happened.
Okay. So the other thing is, I think there are a lot of online 12-step meetings, and I think a Codependence Anonymous meeting would be really good for you. There are also love addiction meetings that have to do with being able to let go and not let another person control you. So, like Steve was saying, this ex-boyfriend, yeah, he was deceitful. He sucked you in, right?
Well, the thing is, I'm part of a group, but it's an emotional support group, but they haven't been really helpful, and I've been just on one because I was on multiple last year, but I've just been on the Michigan Warm Line. But what happened was, where it was a great support for me, they changed the line this year. So the 20 emotional supporters that was very helpful for me to keep me going, the majority of them are gone. So that's a big loss for me, too, because I don't have the emotional support that I was getting.
What Jill's saying is there are other resources that are online, and you're going to have to be willing to not try.
But I don't have the technology.
Okay, but you have a phone, and that's all
right,
you have to
and
do.
I've been calling, you know, ministers and all of that, but...
Okay, but I'm talking about there are support groups online and on the phone that you can access if you have a cell phone. What are your thoughts here? I want to give her some additional help. Or Jill, anything else you want to say?
Well, Lisa, I remember you calling before our radio show. If I'm not mistaken, I think you've called before, haven't you?
That's what I was saying. I have a support group. On Mondays and Thursdays, they it's an extension of this warm line, but they haven't been really helpful in me functioning.
Okay, so, Lisa, you have created a trap for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I would believe that you really need to get some help because where you're at and what that's called is agoraphobia. People won't leave their house. They will do anything they can to get support to come in, but they will not leave their house. It's an anxiety condition. It's a fearful condition. And I'm also going to guess that there is some unresolved trauma from your past because people who've been traumatized find themselves in recurring difficult situations over and over again where they feel victimized and put into positions where other people have deceived them and so on and so forth. So you really need a professional, not just emotional support group. You need a therapist, you need a psychiatrist that can get you the right medication, that can help you feel stronger so you can begin to take charge of your life and walk out of that house.
Mm-hmm. Hopeless situations are very rare when we have willingness to do whatever it takes.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Mylan, you just had a couple of comments here at the break.
We were talking at the break, and to continue with Mylan, what you were saying, Lisa, you are a victim of learned helplessness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is keeping you stuck, and so everything feels like too much. And so some of these things that, Mylan, that you were mentioning are important to take that first step. And you can start by doing telehealth at home,
mm-hmm.
right? But you've got to have somebody more who can help you. And you've got to take some steps even though you're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of the excuses may feel really, really valid, but it's not going to help you function.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can't let yourself off the hook. You have to push yourself.
And I remember Lisa's call from a year or two ago whenever mm-hmm. she called into this, and it sounds like she's in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
She's
yeah.
still stuck, and that learned helplessness keeps us stuck in the same place. There needs to be an intervention, and if we can't do it ourselves, mm-hmm. we have to find some people that we physically know to come into our home and help us make the decisions we need
mm-hmm.
to make.
Or help us leave the house.
Help us leave the house and all that.
The first time is the hardest.
That's right.
You know, right?
You know what phrase has been ignored because of the term codependency is the phrase dependency.
Mm-hmm.
And you just become dependent on everybody, anything, and you're at the mercy of everybody else and how they treat you.
Right, and you feel like you can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? It's losing that sense of self that I can make something happen for myself.
But that, right. I'm going to guess, Jill, that with respect to Lisa, that sense of self has never fully developed. Mm-hmm. That's why I mentioned the trauma piece or neglect or abuse or some sort of pain in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That until we acknowledge that and deal with it, it's hard for us to just start.
I know, and so we want somebody to come rescue us.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Right. But we need somebody not to rescue us, but to lead us into a path of growth.
Yes, Steve.
Appreciate what you said there.
Okay.
But I've got Brunny waiting for us, or Bruni, from Quakertown, Pennsylvania, WBYN, waiting to talk to us. Is it Brunny or Bruni? How do you pronounce that?
Bruni.
Bruni. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, and how can we help you? And I'm really going to ask you to have a little easier situation than the ones we've dealt with before. Anyway, how can we help? We care about
you.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
all right,
no,
what's going on?
It is critical. I've called you guys before. I'm raising two grandchildren. Right now, the problems we have is that the men that the mother brings to their lives are not safe. And she's telling the children to lie to us when they come back. They're not supposed to tell us where they're staying with the kids and everything with them, with these men. So right now, I don't know how to address this issue with my granddaughter to tell her to be safe from these guys when she's staying overnight in these places with their mother, because we cannot go anywhere with her. She doesn't understand nothing. It's her way or the highway. So how can I tell my granddaughter keep herself safe in these places?
How old are your grandkids?
Well, my grandson is 14. He's autistic, and he has the mentality of a seven-year-old, so I cannot address a lot of issues with him. But his sister is 12, and she's well-developed, a beautiful girl. But she's terrified of her mother's mouth, so she doesn't disagree with nothing with her mother.
Mm. So why, she's terrified, so why do you think that you should continue to allow this 12-year-old to stay with a mother she's terrified of, who takes her to spend the night with strangers in homes she's not familiar with? Why do you think she is entitled to the life of this wonderful grandchild you have? And then the autistic grandchild is even...
needs to be protected, too.
Needs more of your help. So what are you thinking here?
Well, I'm not thinking. It's just that we have physical custody 100%, half custody. She have half custody. She is allowed to see her every other weekend. So... because she becomes homeless so many times, she hasn't seen them since March. So she came last month and say that she would like to take the children to New Jersey for 3 days away to a bed and breakfast, which we believe her. And we didn't know that.
Well, quit believing her then.
Yes.
If you have full custody, you're not saying anything to your grandkids. Saying something to them isn't going to help. They're terrified or they're unable to deal with it. You need to not let them be with her. You need to protect them. You need to go back to the child protective people and say, she wants these kids. She's pressuring me, and here's what's been happening, and here's what they're saying to me. One can't help himself. The other's terrified of her. And you must be the one to step up and say, I cannot let her have access to these children. She's unfit to even visit, to have a visit. I would never let them take these kids out of town. Never.
We didn't, because she has half custody. We have the other half, and we have 100% physical custody. So she's still allowed to see them.
Not under those kinds of circumstances. She is not allowed to do whatever she wants to do with these kids. She shouldn't even have them in the presence of another man.
Well, and Bruni, you can say no, and then when she says, but I have rights, then she's got to go do something about that.
That's right.
Right? If the child is saying...
Yeah, we'll go to court.
Right. Yeah. And is she going to do that? And then if you go to court, then it's going to come out what's been happening. Right? Yeah. Not that I want you to have to go through that. But you can say no. And by the time a child is 14, which I realize your grandson is not mentally there, but for the granddaughter, by the time she's 14, she can say, I don't want to be with my mom.
Bruni,
and she can tell you.
Yeah, you're a saint in having this half custody and 100% physical custody. Without you, I can only imagine what the lives of these kids would be like. But sometimes saints have to be really, really tough. And that's where I think you are now. You've kind of fed into this, well, she needs to be able to see them or she has rights. But she doesn't have the right to terrify and abuse these kids. You know, we tell people, don't even introduce your children to someone you're dating until you pretty much think you're going to marry that person. Mm-hmm. Much less go out of town with some stranger or something. So we are for you, and we're for you doing the tough thing. And you know what? Okay. If she threatens you, you have to get a restraining order. You get the police to protect you. But you are all these kids have, and oh, I'm so grateful they have you. But don't let your daughter pressure you into thinking that anything.
Daughter. Oh, it's not your daughter? It's your daughter-in-law?
No. It's not daughter-in-law. It's just some woman that, you know, went to bed with.
With your son.
Which we're not a relationship with him either, so.
Got you. Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, all the more reason.
To not believe her.
Yeah,
you
then,
have no relationship with
her. You know, what I'd be doing is I'd be, and I did this with my daughter, I'd be looking at some people to bring into their lives that could be great influences and help you out and just
youth
love
leaders,
them. Yeah.
Right? People at church.
Yeah, we are surrounded by them. We
good.
Have a great community.
Good.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what I think.
Okay, so we'll do that so next week, and they're not going with her. We're going to say no.
Good. Mm-hmm. And I would just tell her it's just not going to happen. You've talked to the experts, and they say there is no reason for these children to be exposed to something like that. I'm really glad that you called.
Okay,
and
thank you.
God bless you there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to send you a copy of Mylon Kay's book, How We Love Our Kids. And I think there's some great insight into that. Boy, it just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So sad. All right, let's jump over here and talk to John from Pensacola. John, how are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, the second I put you on, the music started, so I'm going to have to ask you to hold on, and we'll get right to you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Hey, by the way, if anybody joins Club New Life, we send you a Time with God welcome gift of 100 Days of Peace and a New Life Journal, a Restoration Bible, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, and a New Life grocery tote. All of that our way of saying thank you for joining Club New Life. $30 a month is all that it is, and great, great benefits there. So thank you, and we'll thank you this way. And a gift of any amount, we send you Dr. Dave Stoops' book, Living Well, Finishing Strong. It's a good one. We'll take a break. Come back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back talking with John. He's our final caller, and we'll be back tomorrow doing this very same thing here, 1-800-229-3000. Hey, John, how are you?
Doing okay, thank you.
Yeah, tell us what's going on.
The question I have is, we've had a marital problems for years now, and she took a test with some women's group from the church, and it came back, and she told me, please read this. And so I read it, and it talked about her sociopathic tendencies. So I started researching that, and it comes up with cluster B personality disorders, and it's something the church doesn't deal with, but how it acts out in the house is pretty much narcissistic. And we went to one of the New Life counselors, and after he's done the initial conference, then we went individually, and when it was my turn, he asked me straight out, says, do you have a lawyer? He goes, I can help you cope with her, but I can't help her. Now, I'm not one to destroy a family. I love my kids, and I want the best for them, but her behaviors and actions are not conducive with a loving family.
Mm. And the question for us is what?
My next step. I mean, I've been dealing this now for 18 years, and the last 4 years when I put my foot down, I wouldn't let her manipulate and shame the kids anymore.
Okay.
And has that worked?
No, it's horrible. She decided, since I started doing the research, she decided she didn't want to do her research, and so she decided to go back to college to be a counselor.
Okay.
So now she's taking clients.
Let me give you a first thing, okay? And then I'll let Mylon and Jill finish. When I hear something like this, and, you know, this is a severe problem that she has, and when a therapist that's a Christian and wants the best for everybody says, I really can't help her, but I can help you deal with her, I would say this. The number one priority is your children. She's in a place where she's in a different dimension, and you can deal with them. When he's saying you can't really deal with her in a way that's going to be helpful, you can only protect them from her, that's got to be the priority. So I would say that's the number one filter from which you make your choices. Saying that you don't want to break up a family, none of us want to break up a family, but we also don't want children to be traumatized because one day the mother is saying to them, you have no idea how much I love you, and let's go do things together. And the next day, she's terrorizing them because of the kind of swings she goes through, or she's manipulating them or threatening them or whatever. So I would just say, from my perspective, make your decisions based on them. That's your number one priority. What are you guys thinking over there, Mylon and Jill?
I'm surprised that she showed you that test, that she brought that to you and admitted that. But it sounds like she's backpedaled since or isn't willing to own any of it. Is that correct?
Correct. Correct, yes.
Okay.
I brought the test up to counseling, and then she totally denied it. And we've went to other counselors, and she fabricates and does her. I mean, she's got a good supply of flying monkeys out there, and her dad's wealthy, so it'd be very difficult to make some.
And how
changes.
Old are your kids, John?
They are 8, 14, and 16.
Okay. Okay, well, it's a difficult situation to be in. I mean, Steve's right. Your kids are where your focus needs to be because you can help them, and you can help them learn to cope with her and learn what's them and what's not them, right? So that they don't take on what is mom. But it's very lonely for you to be in a relationship.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's a horrible place to be.
And when you say that her parents have money and it would be very difficult, it just means you have to work through the difficulties because money doesn't make things impossible for you to do certain things. It just makes it more difficult. So sometimes when you say, I'm not just going to stop at, well, she has a lot of moneyed parents. When you move past that, it's amazing what can open up. There's some attorney hears about this, or some therapist hears about this, and they want to take this on, and they want to help you. But you'll never do that if you stop with, well, her parents have a lot of money. and it's going to make it difficult. Mylon, you have a thought here?
Yeah, John, my heart goes out to you because sadly we can walk into a relationship like this and unbeknownst to us, we are not aware that these things are lurking right underneath the surface. And I'm going to suggest, and with a high sense of likelihood, that your wife was very charming when you met her and very intense and very excited to be with you. But somewhere along the line, there's a corner that's turned, and when she is all of a sudden in the midst of reality and snaps out of an ideal fantasy world of in-loveness, and reality is very hard for her. And sadly, I'm just trying to validate you now, that a lot of people get into therapy schools and in many cases are not fully screened. They get to school, they can end up getting a license.
Yeah, you used to have to be psychologically tested.
Well,
right.
Interestingly, it just happens, and sadly, yeah. I really feel for you. So, John, yeah. You're going to have to decide what you and the kids are going to do, like Steve said, and you're going to have to set boundaries with your wife. And if she goes on a tirade. Or something, you're just going to have to do one of two things. Get in the car and drive away with the kids and get them out of the house. Or if she becomes physically violent, call the police. And that is really, really important because she has to learn that there's certain things she can't do and get by with it. Mm-hmm. And just because she's going to school doesn't give her license to do things like that.
Right. And I think, John, for your survival is to look at, okay, what good is there to be had? Because nobody is all bad, right? So what's the good that you can glean and then protect yourself from the rest? And I would be in therapy if I were you, and I would periodically invite her. Let me know if you ever want to work on our relationship. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go and work on me, right?
You know, one of the strange things is, a person like this is evolving mm-hmm. and dissolving all at the same time. And you think you understand or you think you have a strategy and it changes and she changes. Like, you know, she's going to so figure this out. She's going to go back and study counseling so that she's got every piece of armor she's got. And what you've got is you're sane, you're rational, and you can resource yourself and these kids, but you have to be willing to get after it and not let anything stand in your way. I'm going to send you The Soul of a Hero, Take Your Life Back. I hope that those are going to help you. But, my goodness, you have a challenge, and we appreciate how difficult it is. But the kids are counting on you.
Yeah, and your commitment. We appreciate your commitment.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, you call us. We'll be here. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Mylon and Jill. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.